Cold, huh?
Yeah, and I made a super big mistake because I put my clothing too late. And then midnight I look at my Garmin, it's 1 degree.
And last night when it was very cold, there was ice on top. I had to scratch ice off, like from car windows in wintertime.
Tonight it was so cold. even my water bottle, there were like crushed ice inside.
Cold?
Yeah.
Really fucking cold.
Welcome to the Lost Stop podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. This north to south edition of TCR began last night at 8 p.m, which means our riders start day one after riding through the night. There is little time to speak to riders in the first few hours of a race, as the legs are fresh and everyone is busy pedaling away, soaking up the atmosphere. That said, there was an early dispatch from Andrew Phillips and John Endres, Cap 00 A and B, our men on the ground at this year's race.
So we just rolled over the start line. John and I led the race out of town and then de-neutralised it on the first hill.
It was very surreal. So I know Andy's sitting at home as comms manager, and that's when everything kind of relaxes. Once the dots start moving, I feel a lot better. Things become easier to track and simpler, less abstract. I feel similar now I'm riding. It's really nice just to turn the pedals and think of how simple that task is, just to try and slow myself down and not get too carried away.
We're just going past a sign that says have a fantastic ride degrees. I was really enjoying that start, and maybe taking the sort of immediate pressure of competition off is the reason that I did, because I don't normally really enjoy starts. It felt a lot of fun. Had some more signs. This one says first climb done. Hey! And a special one for Christoph Strasser there that says show me your Sitzfleisch.
With morning fully broken on day one at TCR number 12, a few of the usual faces are pulling away at the front. But because it's early in the race, most of the field are still bunched up, and that means lots of riders for our race reporters to speak to. Here's a first update from Sophie.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to day one of TCR number 12. Here in control car number 2, we slept in not far from Folldal, where this morning it's 8 a.m. now, and it's 10 degrees out there. Sun, it's really gorgeous around here, but I think it was a bit different for our riders last night. I looked a bit on the internet this morning and I could see a lot of -2 degree picture on GPS. So yes, it was really, really cold out there. But luckily riders could go to a shop, co-op, that exceptionally, because of TCR, stayed open the whole night, and apparently they could just like tap their credit card to enter the shop. There was no one. It was like a self-service shop, which is, I find it absolutely amazing. They were really, really happy, like really excited about TCR. So if you happen to be in Thailand, in Norway, they are really cyclist friendly, let me tell you. It seems like a huge party out there yesterday, just for riders to try to get a bit warm before going again into the frozen night.
Soon after, Sophie speaks to her first riders of the day. It's clear that those freezing cold overnight temperatures have proved an early challenge. She speaks to Maximilian Searing, Cap 264.
Did you just say, like, finally pants are...
Pants are coming off finally, yeah.
How was the night?
It was quite cold for July.
Yeah. You seem quite well equipped.
Yeah. It looks that way, but it doesn't feel that way. No, in all fairness, it's probably the right equipment, but the layering, and I was a little bit too late with putting everything on, and got super cold, took a little nap in a lovely waiting hall of a train station exactly half an hour before the first coffee place in the town opened. Timing is everything sometimes.
So you got a coffee?
Yeah, it was necessary.
What's your plan for today?
Beitostollen and then find the sheep hotel. The first one's possible, the second one probably not, so who knows? But definitely do the gravel section, the long one, with lots of climbing. And I think it's very likely and possible to arrive before 8 o'clock, and or maybe it's 8:30, and then have a good sleep.
Good. Yeah. The first shopping now.
The team in Control Call 1 will spend the day at the front of the race. They expect the first riders to arrive at Control Point 1 in Flandre later this evening. First, they have to navigate the mandatory parkour, 1A and 1B. Here's race director David Eyre with some first impressions of the race so far.
We are seeing the sun finally piercing through the mist as riders make their way into the warmth of the day after a very cold night. Although the people at the front have been pushing a hard pace, I'm sure they've kept themselves pretty toasty anyway. Robin Gemperla is leading from the front, and perhaps quite an expected tactic given that we know he likes to set out fast, but there is a chasing pack close behind him with the likes of Christoph Strasser, Robert Muller, Martin Moritz, Maxime Magut, all in hot pursuit. They are well through the start parkour now, and they're making their way towards Parkour 1A. Parkour 1A is designed to tempt them across the Mjølkevegen. So the Mjølkevegen is a long gravel road that exists in this stretch of Norway. It's really beautiful, very open. You can see all the mountain tops and the dense pine forests around us, and passes by a number of lakes. It is primo Norwegian gravel, and there's plenty of that around here. It was designed to give riders a choice, so riders could either go a slightly longer way round on the road and then do the parkour as an out and back, or they could take the risk and cut across and go all the way across it. And it looks like this leading pack has taken the bait, so it's really exciting to see that. A little bit further back, the Flinterfield is pursuing really strongly as well, the likes of Jana Kessenheimer, Anna Karlqvist, Camille Abisa, are all coming fast as well. So yeah, the race is really hotting up already.
Jake Thorpe is our race reporter in Control Car 1. He catches up with Jocelyn Roth, Cat 114, who's identified a somewhat unexpected problem.
What was the paradox of Norway, Jocelyn?
It's there's water everywhere, but you can't find water anywhere. It's crazy.
Has it been a thirsty morning?
Yeah.
And how was the night for you?
Very cold. Crazy cold. It was horrible because it was quite paradoxical, because it was a full flat descending, and you needed to give some power to keep warm, but at the same time, the more power you gave, the quicker you were going and the cooler you were. So yeah, it was quite terrible, and I knew I just knew that it will be like this for 2 or 3 hours. It's also the nice thing about cycling, you know, that's the only solution is to go through it. So you just don't think about it, go through it, and then another day starts and everything's fine again. So
this year's brand new Flinter category is expected to be highly competitive, and it's no surprise to see Jana Kessenheimer, cap number 10, leading the early charge. That said, she's identified a similar issue to Jocelyn.
It's a bit hard to resupply.
Yeah, I've been hearing this across the board. You said something about the water in Norway.
Yeah, I mean, you see water all the time, like lakes, the fjords, but you can't find something to drink.
The Norwegian paradox, it's crazy. So you've had to ration a little bit and just fill up where you can?
I think I was fine so far. Now, in the end, it was a bit of a mental game, like, should I drink or not?
And it's been a little stressful for you, I hear, with riding near your partner.
Yeah, I mean, we did all the training together, and apparently we are using the same tools to plan. And now it's quite stressful, because we try to keep the distance, but then he stops, I stops, whatever. And your instinct would be like to say, hey, have a good time together, and maybe lay in the grass and chill for an hour. But instead I say, like, can we please take like photos to show that we're not riding to years?
While an evening start is a common feature of TCR, this year is the first time riders will have ridden through the first night without darkness falling. Here's Sophie to explain why that is.
Did you ever ask yourself why it never really gets dark here in Norway? It's time for a brand new section of the podcast. It's called Sophie Explains. every day I will explain one thing about this race, about the riders, their bikes, or the place they are riding through. I will try to make it short, so less than a minute, so you don't fall asleep before the end of the explanation. So why it's never really dark here in Norway? It's all because the Earth is tilted. The Earth doesn't stand straight. It's tilted by about 23 degrees. As the Earth goes around the Sun, that tilt means that during the summer, the northern hemisphere is leaning toward the Sun. So normally, when your part on the Earth turns away from the Sun, it gets dark, it's the night. But this far north, because of that tilt, the Sun goes just below the horizon. So even during the night, its light still lights up the sky. We are not far enough north to have the true midnight sun, where the Sun just never sets. But the days are very long, and there are only 1 or 2 hours here when it gets really dark. So it's good to save the battery of the bike lights. And it's beautiful, but not great when you're trying to tell your brain it's time to sleep. But the good thing is all our riders just want to ride their bike, so perfect.
Fresh from a very helpful science lesson, Sophie is quite literally up and running to find out how our riders are faring on this first morning. She's with Josh Ibbett, Cap 101.
Do you mind if I run next to you?
Keep up.
If I can keep up, yeah, please don't go too fast.
If you don't drop me.
Oh, no, no. How are you?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah?
Just plodding along, really. Trying not to go too hard. But obviously everyone just disappeared on the first night.
Yeah, this is a marathon.
And I was busy chatting as well up the first hill and got stuck at traffic light. I was with Andrew, though, so I couldn't even jump it because he dobbed on me. So, yeah, but it was kind of good, really, because I mean, I didn't get involved in the silliness because it's a long first day.
You know better.
Well, that's what I tell myself. I don't know whether I actually do or not, but I've no idea where I am. So yeah, just I like this stuff. The day's got harder and harder, so I feel like I'm now moving forwards. And yeah, it's more like a mountain bike race, really. Or a mountain race, you know, with the gaps between resupply and remoteness.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Riders can expect to meet a wide range of wildlife over the next couple of weeks. The biggest question in this Norwegian leg, who will see a moose? Sophie speaks to Manuel Feldbaumer, Cap 39.
How are you? How's it going?
Yeah, it's okay. I was quite tired in the morning and until midday because of, the brutal night, the cold night. But yeah, I had a very short power nap, just laying down, and now I'm feeling quite okay.
Yeah, where did you lay down?
Just down there, after the last supermarket. Just drank a classic Coke and some protein drink, and yeah, just on a park bench. That was really nice.
Not too bad. It wasn't toilet, so.
No, it wasn't on a toilet. No.
Not yet. Maybe in a few days.
Yeah. I did it in another event, actually. Sleeping in a toilet. I was actually very luxurious. Yeah. Could be worse.
How was it to ride with a night that wasn't really a night?
Yeah, it was quite okay-ish. I mean, the light is very adventurous, I would say. So... but it was really cold and quite wet at some point because of all the fog. But yeah.
Did you see any wildlife?
Actually not yet.
Not moose? Not yet.
No. But
maybe,
looking, yeah, I'm really looking forward actually to seeing one or two. Not running into one leg literally.
Yeah.
But seeing would actually be very cool, yeah.
Pavel Palowski, or Pico, Cap number 8, is another rider caught by the cold temperatures overnight.
Is it okay if I run next to you?
Yeah, no
worries. How are you?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Keeping on.
You don't seem so sure.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm pacing. You know, the night was terrible.
Cold, nah?
Yeah, and I made a super big mistake because I put my clothing too late. And then midnight I look at my Garmin, it's 1 degree. I didn't realize. So then I stop to put some clothing on and I couldn't because nothing was working, hands weren't working.
We're too cold.
Yeah, when I was riding, I didn't feel it, you know?
Maybe some adrenaline also from the start.
Yeah, so that made me a bit tired. But yeah, I'm positive. Positive.
Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, was also surprised by the chilly conditions, though she's also aware of the extreme heat that likely lies ahead. Maybe needing an extra layer or two isn't all bad.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
It's so beautiful here. I enjoy it so much.
I saw your story from this morning with like ice kind of on your buff.
Yeah, it's insane. Tonight it was so cold. Even my water bottle, there were like crushed ice inside.
Oh my god.
I was like, oh my. I didn't expect that. My weather forecast was really different. Mm-hmm. I thought it's like 7 degrees, but no, it was minus something. And I didn't feel my feet anymore, even though I had two pairs of socks and overshoes. But yeah, I survived.
You survived, that's the most important thing.
It can only get warmer.
Yeah, I mean, you're going south.
Yeah. Probably in the end, I am gonna miss the cold.
Exactly. Yeah, remember that time.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm quite surprised how fast it goes here. I didn't expect that. I thought I would be much, much later here.
Yeah, so. you're doing good.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
Yeah, it's really nice. I love it.
Perfect. Hello everyone, it's 3 p.m. now in control car number 2. We are currently between the first parkour and the parkour 1A, about around like 370k, and we are staying here because the views are amazing. This is a really remote place. There is few houses, like few huts, with lakes, mountains. It's so beautiful. It's funny because I earlier said like it looks like Scotland but with sun. I'm getting bite by a horsefly though, and there is a lot of mosquitoes biting me while I'm waiting for the riders, and I'm waiting for them on the climb, because for me it's easy for me to talk to them because it's they go a bit slower, so I can like try to run next to them. Yeah, the sun is out. It's warm. There is sun. Riders are riding like shorts and t-shirts, and yeah, everyone with a big smile, sometimes a bit tired face, but generally like quite happy. They are quite happy to see me in the sun.
Sophie speaks to more riders as they begin to pass through, including Bjorn Versing, Cap 302.
How was the night?
It was really cold, right?
Yeah.
I did not expect it to be that cold, but luckily there was no rain.
Yeah.
Like if there was rain, then I should have stopped.
Were you prepared? Like, did you had enough clothes or?
I decided to take my leg warmers with me, and this was a good decision. And yeah, so with the rain jacket on, then it was okay, but my fingers were cold because I had no long gloves.
Yeah, because it was -2. Some riders like said it was
mine.
Yeah, it felt cold.
I deleted the temperature from the head unit. Yeah, because there's no benefit in knowing the temperature, right? I cannot change it anyway.
Any plan for today?
Yeah, I think I will ride until 10 or 11 in the evening, and then find a bus stop. I will sleep outside.
Do you get good recovery when you sleep outside? I will ask you tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think there's a big difference. And when you book a hotel, there's always some stress, and you have a set finish point which you should have to reach. And yeah, so with the sleeping bag, I can just sleep anywhere I want.
More freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah Lobelessier is race coordinator at TCR number 12. She's in control car 2 with Sophie. Here she is with an overview of Parkour 1A and B and the kind of landscapes the riders are experiencing on day one.
So we're up on the Mjölkavägen at the moment. This is Parkour 1A and we're about 500 kilometres into the route now. The race has been going on for 23 hours. So riders have mostly ridden through the night in order to get here at this time. and it's absolutely glorious up here. We've had a really beautiful day with the sun out, but also lots of clouds, which has made it beautiful and photogenic, and the clouds are kind of casting their shadows across the green hillsides up here. It's this quite wide open upland area, lots of pasture land, but also views out to the snowy mountains in front of us, and lots of lakes dotted along the way. And it's this very famous gravel cycling route in Norway.
It's fair to say that Roald Massinck, Cap 405, has gone well out of his way in pursuit of that lovely tarmac.
What can I say? Going to the start of the first parkour, the second parkour.
Yeah, because
like the other way around than most of the people.
Yes. So you had the choice between the gravel route, I think, and
yeah. Well, to be honest, in my final tuning, I didn't come up with this route, so I had a route for the Grim Valley, which was actually super beautiful. But I guess it was a bit longer.
Yeah, it was longer.
It was a bit longer, and it's well, it happens.
Thank you for slowing down a bit. So we are on the parkour 1A, and he, like very few other riders, start the parkour by the end of it. So he has to cycle all the way to the beginning and then ride the parkour in the right direction. That way he avoided some gravel. So I'm not sure in this case it was like a proper decision. I think he just like didn't see that there was that option, something like that. I don't know. But anyway, the views are amazingly beautiful. There is a huge lake, mountains, like people on boats on the lake. It's like if you had to imagine like what Norway looks like, this is it. Red, beautiful houses, beautiful hut next to the lake. It's so beautiful, really beautiful. There is snow on the mountains up far, and obviously midges, and they seems to apparently really like me because they keep biting me.
Parkour 1A and B see the riders take on their first significant climbs of the race. Despite riding almost 500 kilometers already, Leah Hamburger, Cap 404, welcomes the challenge.
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, happy that there is some climbing finally. I prefer it to the flat, so yeah, it was really nice for the last, like, I don't know, 200 kilometers or so, like the uphill here, and also on the other side of Finster, it's just beautiful up there. I mean, it was rolling, but everyone was like heading out at incredible speed. So to me, it didn't really feel like rolling, but instead like, okay, yeah, going strong here. But yeah, I guess it's nice that it didn't start with like 5,000 meters of climbing in the start parkour, that's true.
How many kilometers have you done so far since the beginning?
468 now.
So you're not going too bad, I mean.
No, it's quite, I'm happy actually.
Yeah?
It's nice, yeah. Probably like some more and then we'll try to stay inside for the night because last night it was like super chilly.
Mm.
And I think my sleeping setup is not made for like almost zero degrees Celsius, so yeah.
Control Call 1 continues to follow the riders at the front, where Robin Gemperle, Cap number 1, has already started to open a gap to the chasing group. Max Agut, Cap number 51, has been the closest rider to Robin so far, followed by Nicolas Châtelet, Cap 126, Jocelyn Roth, Cap 114, and Christoph Strasser, Cap number 5. As usual, the two-time podium finisher Tim De Vitter, Cap number 3, is also in the thick of things, though he's having some concerns about his ferry plans.
Yeah, I'm mostly worried.
Worried? Tell me why.
That I will miss the ferry that I planned. And then I need to spend 10 hours in Malmö. So visit Malmö unwantingly. I'm not really a fan of doing that.
So what's the likelihood do you think that you'll catch it?
Problem is, I need to sleep. Otherwise, I will not be able to cycle. So I'm now maybe thinking about power naps. That might be the solution. Other solution is just to sleep 8 hours and take the next one. Then then I sleep twice 8 hours and that would be very relaxed. But yeah, then it's not a race anymore. Then it's just a leisure ride to Greece for me, for the rest. Yeah, I'm really, really doubting what to do now.
What was the difference for you? What do you think changed versus your planning?
Me being slow. that's the difference. Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't go. It just doesn't go the way it should. And I'm slow, and I don't know why. Yeah.
I don't think anyone would call you slow, Tim. But you have high expectations of yourself.
I don't really have my highest expectations of myself, but it's not what I had in mind. Let's say it like that.
By contrast, Arthur Jan, Cap 311, is having a fantastic time.
How are you finding the race so far?
I'm really having a blast.
Yeah? Yeah? What's been keeping you going?
Mostly looking for like a bed soon and trying to reach CP1, but I don't think I will make it tonight, maybe tomorrow.
Are things going to plan, or are you doing better than expected?
To be honest, I don't really have any expectations. I'm just enjoying the scenery. The landscapes were amazing. The parkour so far was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And have you got any idea about which ferries and things are you working backwards from the crossing?
Yeah, I have a few ideas, but same thing. If I have to wait like 4 or 5 hours for another ferry, it won't be wasted time. I'd say.
Look forward to some rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Late afternoon in Norway, and it seems like another unexpected challenge is beginning to emerge for our riders. Scarce accommodation. Some are finding it easier to land a place to sleep than others. Sophie speaks to Rodrigue Lombard, Cap 235.
I booked, I guess, the last room of the camping in Botsalen.
When did you book it? Today? No, more or less, like in the afternoon?
I guess, yes. I didn't think it was too late. It was almost 4.
Okay.
But when I started checking, it was 2, and at 2 p.m., it was already fully booked or really, really, really expensive rooms. And I was, like, panicking. So I started, like, call all the camping and hostel that I found. And finally, I found a room to sleep.
Because everything is quite expensive and...
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, so many people in Norway booking in the same time, so the prices are rises.
And desperate people, like, they want a bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I met Maxim and he told me...
he's looking for a room there. Yeah. He's going to the 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, hoping that they have a room.
Joanna Raminska-Petersic, Cap 148, is pleased to have found somewhere warm for the night.
I'm a bit frustrated because I had to put my bike somewhere and now I have lots of things and I don't know how I'm going to get to the room.
So the room is inside, but you had to park your bike.
Yeah, I know. Don't allow bikes inside, so yeah.
This is the worst.
But I'm quite happy to find this place because it's not easy. There is quite a competition, you know, for
accommodation.
For accommodation today, so you know, it's up.
When did you book yours?
10 minutes ago.
Oh, you got lucky then.
Sorry?
You are lucky.
I am. Yeah, I really need some rest today. And I wouldn't, you know, after the last cold night, I wouldn't really like it to sleep outside, even though I have a sleeping bag. But come on, it was like -2 degrees yesterday. It was, my pipe was frozen. It was crazy. So yeah, I think today it will be the same.
So today in Control Car 1, we have been sort of shuttling backwards and forwards along the along Parkour 1A, the first section of the split parkour, which is on a gravel track called the Mjölkevägen, the Milk Way. We then, as a control car, have made haste to the first control point, CP1 in Flum, which is on the shores of the fjord, in the lee of some incredibly impressive hills and mountains, which have a covering of dense forest and just sheet slabs of rock rising out of the water. We saw a cruise ship heading down the fjord, which in any other context would look enormous, but in this context looked like a toy. We have been unable to see where our leading rider, Robin Gemperler, is on the tracker. His tracker's been inactive for about an hour, and so we have been in a sort of race within a race to try and beat him to the control point. Funnily enough, in the control car with Thomas and David, a kind of recurrent pair of the Lost Dot races, often find themselves in a control car together. They were trying to remember the last time they actually beat Robin to a control. I think they thought back as far as TCR number 9, so not often that they've been able to get ahead of the Swiss Whippet. But we have been able to just edge ahead this time, and we are currently waiting for Robin to open up this first control.
And at 7:35 on day one, he is the first to roll into Flum and the first control point of the race. No surprise, he's wondering just how fast he can go.
So Robin, how are we doing?
Okay. I'm not sure whether I should try and push for the Wednesday lunchtime ferry. It should work out, but it will be hard.
Have you been keeping an eye just ahead then, ever behind?
No, not really. I think if I make this, nobody else will make it. If I don't, I will just have to figure out what I do with the spare time.
Yeah.
Or like, basically I will decide maybe. Let's see how I sleep tonight, and then I will decide tomorrow what I will actually do, because it doesn't make sense to push the very finish when it's obvious that it's not working out. But I could imagine it works out. It's like super tight.
So is it, this was always the plan, I imagine. Did you ever have a plan B?
It was kind of like, I was at the start, I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm not into it. I didn't bring my A game.
feel the fire.
But then suddenly we started, I looked at the average speed and I was like, this is quite fast.
After chasing Robin for most of the day, Max Agut, Cap 51, is the next to arrive at CP1. Under 2 hours later.
How are we doing, Max?
Exhausted.
Quick start, my friend.
Yeah.
Seems you've had Nicholas in your sights all day. You haven't been able to escape each other.
What's hard to beat? What's hard?
Tell me. The which bit was the hardest?
Well, the last climb. Like, you are at the top and then you have six more tops. Like, so long. Yeah, was hard to do.
Many riders have been commenting on the beauty of the route and the experience of riding in Norway. Nicolas Châtelet, Cap 126, is third into CP1. He's followed by Jocelyn Roth, Cap 114, who has managed to take in the landscapes while riding at such pace.
The climb was magnificent.
Yeah?
Enjoyed? Yeah, I didn't enjoy the climb, but I enjoyed the top. So that's for sure. And yeah, it was one of the nicest parts I've done since a while, really. And the descent, it was like a bit like the beginning of the Galibier when you go down. It was super, super, super nice.
That's a nice way to end the evening then.
And Flem is that when you arrive there and you have the fjord, it was like, whoa, this is heaven.
These are the bits that you race for, eh?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's the nicest day I've done on the TCR. And not performance-wise, if that's a fact, but just where we were and the different atmospheres we had during the day was super, super nice.
Next into CP1 is the ever consistent twice TCR winner and cap number 5, Christoph Strasser.
You're putting down a quick pace this year.
Yeah,
really out the blocks.
It could have been even quicker, but I'm really happy. I mean, last year I was, I think, 25th or 30th position on the first checkpoint. I mean, last year was not a good year for me. I don't know. But this year I'm really happy.
Yeah, you should be. You're riding an amazing race.
I had one tough couple of hours in the afternoon with nearly falling asleep all the time and like a little bit of a breakdown, but that's what it uses to be, you know, such a race. And the other 22 hours were just perfect, yeah.
Brilliant. I'm so glad to hear. So it's going to plan.
And I still have enough power left, so that's
the main thing.
Yeah.
So a bit of rest now and then pressing onto the parkour through the night, or?
I try to leave as soon as possible, and then I try to get a place in a hut up there to sleep on the mountain.
Wonderful.
Because it's too early to stop now.
The team in Control Car 1 expect to see a couple more riders make it to Flam and CP1 before they scoot off to their own accommodation. Race director David reflects on how the race is beginning to take shape.
We are standing here now, standing here at the bottom of these enormous rock faces that surround the CP. The sun's closing in a little bit, it's starting to get a little bit dusky. Still pretty bright for gone 10 p.m, but definitely not as bright as earlier. But we've just had the first 5 riders come through CP1 now, so 2 hours between the first and the 5th rider, all in remarkably good spirits overall. Robin first through, very quick turnaround, got his card stamped, filled his water bottles, asked if there was anywhere he could stay, and when he found out there wasn't, was immediately on his way to push on further into the evening and hopefully find somewhere to sleep. The last rider through was Christoph Strasser, full of thanks for the Lost Dot team, which was a very nice little bit of real-time feedback for us about the route between Parkour 1A and here. Seems to have really enjoyed himself, said it was the favourite riding he's done in 5 editions of the TCR. So, and as I stand here now and say about the first 5 riders coming in, I can see behind me Robert Muller approaching the control point. So we're about to get the 6th rider coming through on his aero bike, with its full set of modifications, which have definitely been capturing the attention of dot watchers at home. So hopefully have a quick word with him now before we make our own way to our accommodation, an hour and a half away. So it's not just the riders who are struggling to find somewhere to sleep in this corner of Norway. That's also affecting the team as well. So we're off to stay in a little mountain hut in the middle of nowhere tonight, which should be quite a fun experience.
Sure enough, Robert Muller is next to arrive, and he's riding another fantastic race. If you haven't seen the pictures, Robert has a unique dome-like structure on the hood of his bike, like the kind you might find on a bird feeder to prevent a squirrel from swiping your nuts.
And how was the climb on this incredibly modified bike?
It's too heavy. I don't know why, but it's very, very heavy. So on the downhill, it's very fast, but uphill, it's slow.
And how's the cockpit doing? How's the windshield?
Yeah, it's okay. It makes some noise because this is always vibrating and then it's rubbing against here. And last night when it was very cold, there was ice on top.
No.
I had to scratch ice off, like from car windows in wintertime. Really? Yeah, it was so freezing cold that there was a little layer of ice.
You need a small spray of de-icer, you know? You need a full set of because now you've got a windscreen.
Suddenly it turned like white and I didn't know what's happening, and then I've seen it was a little bit of ice, a thin layer of ice.
Our last rider chat for the day is with last year's runner-up, Martin Moritz, cap number 2. He's been fast again over day 1, but not yet feeling the pull of the race.
Not so good.
What's been happening?
Lack of motivation. The cold in the morning, and up there really beautiful on the plateau, but I was asking myself so many times, why am I just not here with a camper doing what everybody else is, and asking all those questions of life,
of course.
And then you get feel even more philosophical, and then you start the downhill and then you see the fjord, and you start appreciating again.
It's amazing how it changes, though.
But it changed back again. Well,
yeah, it's did you come to any conclusions? Do you know why?
No. I will continue, but I'm kind of broke. Yeah, we'll see tomorrow.
Never make a decision at night is Mike's always was Mike's advice. Yeah,
true.
Never make a decision at night. Always true. Wait till the morning.
Yeah, I won't scratch yet, but yeah, it's maybe it's just a tough moment. Hopefully.
Time for the recap of the day. In control car number 2 today, we started the day picking up riders with really red eyes after a freezing cold first night. You could read on their faces the different strategy, grit your teeth and carry less weight, risking using more energy just to stay warm, or pack more layers, stay comfortable but carry those extra kilos for the rest of the journey. But one word was definitely on everyone's lips today, whether they were actually blue or not, it was cold. Today, all I could think when looking at the car windows was welcome to bikepacking paradise. So imagine small wooden red huts with grass growing on the roof, sitting by rivers or tiny lakes in places that feel like the end of the world. There is absolutely water everywhere. Everywhere is green. You can pitch a tent anywhere. And if you add the sunshine to that, let me tell you, it's paradise. Last year, I was looking for a way to get as many riders' stories as possible, and I started to look at everyone's story on social media, and I'm continuing this year so I can bring you the latest gossip from around the race. Okay, so Robert Tremblay, Cap 122, proudly posted a picture celebrating kilometers 52 with the simple caption, 1% done, only 99% to go. Alberto Vaghi, Cap 278, got so excited by the warmer temperature that he actually celebrated with a full delayering dance to You Can Leave Your Hat On. By the way, the Moulin Rouge is recruiting performers all year long. Meanwhile, Satomi Yamada, Cap 229, was not particularly worried about traffic today, which to be fair was almost non-existent, but about two moose crossing the road at 4 p.m. Honestly, I'm a little jealous. A little section that I really like is the fashion moment of the day. There was a time when no respectable lady or gentleman would leave the house without gloves. Silk, leather, white gloves, they were a symbol of elegance, sophistication and social statue. So fast forward to the transcontinental race, gloves were also a mandatory piece last night. Adrien Charlot, Cap 172, took a pair of disposable diesel gloves from a petrol station to follow the trend. Not exactly Paris Fashion Week, but haute couture has evolved. Today, elegance is measured by how many fingers are still warm. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow in control car number 2, we will move a bit further to approach Flam, the first control point of the race, and catch up riders from the N pack. Keep up the good work, and for the first time in TCR number 12, it is my great pleasure to wish you all good night and good ride, everyone.
You can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.